Chapter 44. Everything from Soup to Nuts. Never give advice in a crowd. Arab proverb. From Passion, Shall We Give Our Lives to the Stage? Season 1, Episode 16, The Slayers. Entanglement. Zangalus picked up his phone.
Yeah? Oh, hi. Have you read the script, then? You like it? Well, you said you wanted a kind of lampoon of the Slayers, so that's what I wrote. Kind of fun, yeah, but the money's more important. You got that? Sure. Come over now. Dad's not home. But you gotta hurry, because I have to get back to Mosquito soon. I know it's not much of a drive. Just hurry. Right. Bye.
Not much more than half an hour later, Vermagin was at his front door. Zangalus let him in immediately.
I got the rest of the copies, like you wanted.
Thanks. The two young men traded money for scripts, with a few words. Payment in hand, Zangalus relaxed.
You promised you wouldn't hurt them. So what are you planning to do with these?
The shorter, mousy-haired man smiled faintly.
Some guys in the dorms are going to do it as a joke in the Mosquito Art Competition. No biggie. Most everyone's going to be seeing that musical, and if they do, they might get this and think it's funny.
No one should take this seriously. It's pretty farcical, Zangalus told him. His conscience was free. It wasn't meant to do anyone harm, just meant to make him a few bucks. He checked his watch. I gotta go now, he said, and escorted Vermagin to the door. As Zangalus drove off, he put a CD into the player and thought no more of it. Vermagin, however, had his work cut out for him before he, in turn, got paid.
Entrapment.
Hello? Whoa. What? Slow down. Stop yelling at me. Okay, I'm hanging up. You can call back when your sanity returns.
Who was that? Val asked.
Your girlfriend, Zello sang. Hopefully she'll get the number right next time and yell at you.
You just bend her the wrong way.
And which way is that? All I said was hello. There it goes again, I'm not answering it. You do it.
Val stopped the phone from sliding off the table.
Yo, nah, it's me. No, he ain't.
Zellos pointed to the bathroom door of the motel room. Val went on.
He's in the bathroom.
Philia sniffed indignantly. She was drying her hair in the room she was sharing a few doors down.
Hiding! I just know that creep's in there hiding from me. Well, he'd better, if he knows what's good for him. If I could murder him this minute and not screw up the musical, I'd do it. Gods, I hate him. Hate, hate, hate!
Hey now, hold on, Phil. What's the dude done to rally up so? Val met Zellos's eyes.
Oh yeah? Your cousin's called? The twins?
Zellos smiled and lay back on his bed, hands behind his head.
Them.
They told you what? Where'd they hear that? All amusement evaporated from his voice.
Their dad? Hold on.
Val slammed his rough hand over the dainty mouthpiece and whispered to Zellos.
Slate's the one. We're in cahoots with the spy.
Zellos shot up.
No, that makes no sense.
Val waved at him to be quiet.
Phil, babe, listen, don't blame Zellos for this one, but don't pass on what you heard.
Understand?
No, not a nasty secret, just a tricky one. One that involves Milgazia, so it's serious. Luna, too.
That's right. Want to talk to him?
Zellos was shaking his head furiously.
No!
But Val smirked and finished.
He's out now. Here, Zellipoo.
Zellos frowned at his friend and took the phone as if it were a soggy donut.
Yeah, I accept.
He listened for a few minutes and then sighed.
You wouldn't understand. They came on to me. Not possible. I said not possible. And it's none of your business. Why? I'm really not that dumb.
Philia. I know how not to reproduce little metallions. Now goodbye. I have other business to attend to.
He closed up his phone with a sharp bitch, then said louder, sorry.
Val chuckled. She's still pissed about you sleeping with her cousins?
Yes, although you'd think it was time that she was over that, wouldn't you?
But they just keep asking her when I'll be back and how to get in touch with me, and
Zelos nearly added, it's as if she were jealous or something, but didn't.
She thinks it was bad form on my part, that I should have more self-control, and blah, blah, blah.
Don't blame you. But then again, if their father's a spy dude,
then they're all screwed,
Zelos shot back. Val exploded in laughter at the unintentional joke, the noise of which sent Delgadis tearing into the room. He'd been napping on the balcony outside the sliding glass doors of their room.
Oh, I thought you guys were fighting or something,
Zell grumbled. Val shared the joke between snorts and gasps. However, Zell was unappreciative, having had his rest disturbed.
So what brought that up? He asked.
Val told him about Philia's call. The only way Slate would know Zella's got Mrs. Saunders arrested was by those papers I leaked using Gilles, which means
either he's our clan connection, or in league with the spy,
Zelos finished.
He's not likely the one on that mountaintop outpost you and Philia visited.
Maybe that was Gravos, but he ain't talking yet, Val disclosed.
I doubt it. Gravos wouldn't be that adept at syndicate coding. But then, none of them are part of that organization,
Zell noted.
We want the syndicate guy, too.
My guess is that when pressed by Luna, Slate will talk,
Zelos assured him.
I'd better make a few calls now, starting with Milgazia. It is the man's brother-in-law, after all. Then, Luna.
Enlistment. An ominous roar echoed through the van carrying Kiki and four of the Slayers. Unable to visit a restaurant in the area without being bothered by adoring fans, the Slayers had ordered takeout, divided into two vans, and headed out to a nearby private campground. Zolf had left earlier, taking the other van to pick up the food first, then the remaining Slayers' kids.
"I'm starving! We ordered a picnic! Let's eat it!"
Lena demanded.
"Hey, stop! I can smell it from here! Looks like Zulf's already been here and set it out over there."
Rodimus, driving their van, strained to see.
"Over on that table, under the trees? You sure that's our stuff?"
"Course it is," Lena said with certainty.
It looked like the pot of stew she had ordered for them to share.
"There's probably more stuff sitting in a box somewhere. You can look for that while we eat, if you want."
Not one to miss out on a meal. Gowri was next out of the van. He made a beeline for the picnic table, grabbing a bowl and spoon for himself.
"Where's Zulf with the other van? Where's the box of food I ordered?"
Zell asked. Lena was too busy shoving soup into her maw to answer, so Zell walked around the picnic area searching for signs of Zulf and his things.
Why would he have dropped off just that, and not Philia, Val, and Silphiel? He wondered aloud.
Rodimus pulled out his cell phone.
"I'll locate the other van and have him join us here."
After he made the call, he found a comfortable bench to stretch out on and fell asleep.
"Mmm, smells terrific, Miss Lena. Did we get all this from the restaurant?"
Amelia asked moments before diving into her own serving with a relish. Lena shrugged.
"Guess so."
Gowri stopped chewing long enough to say,
"This is great, but whose food is it?"
"Ours," Lena asserted. "Who else's would it be?"
"It was rather conveniently laid out for us,"
Zelos noted. He chose not to eat food from an unidentified source, tempted as he was by the delicious smell permeating the air.
"Heaven never forsakes the just," Amelia cried.
"But so, It might not be our food? Gary asked.
Don't sweat the details, Lena said airily, with a wave of her hand.
They were all traveling incognito, wearing ordinary clothes and hats to disguise their extraordinary appearances. They already had enough attempts by their enemies to sabotage their musical. They certainly didn't want to draw attention to themselves now and get killed by either mobs of fans trying to just touch them, or syndicate slime trying to waste them. It took Lena, Amelia, and Gowry a matter of minutes to clean out the entire pot of soup. Lena leaned back and smiled with pleasure.
Great! That was really good! Now I feel better!
Zell's head jerked up. Someone's coming.
Probably Zolf with the rest of our food, Lena said.
But it wasn't. The men who had actually cooked the soup walked in upon the destruction of it and the empty pot. Lena and her team of gluttons were caught. It turned out one of the men was the director of a traveling theater company called the Rossburg Players, which was likewise en route to Mosquito for the annual arts competition. The competition was being held during spring recess for the Seyrun University, and all the Seyrun school districts as well. It took place at roughly the same time as the Slayer's musical, only in a different building. He was accompanied by a bedraggled, careworn young man who settled quietly by a tree.
It's gone. All gone. My soup.
Embarrassed and regretful, the Slayers collectively promised retribution for their lost cooking in the form of a share of their own soon-to-be-delivered meal. It was accepted. Mr. Rossburg dropped a heavy bundle of papers on the table and sighed when he checked the empty pot for the second time.
Ah!
His face was beet red from the effort of his walk. Gowry offered both men a can of soda.
Warm today. For spring.
Oh? Yes, yes, wonderful weather. Like summer, eh? What's this? Ginger ale? Oh-ho! I haven't tasted this in many years. Thank you, young man.
Rossburg untied his gypsy-like green scarf and wiped off his face before finishing the drink in 10 gulps.
Ah,
he sighed with satisfaction while replacing the scarf upon his head. He stared at the kids looking them all over, as they were still looking aghast at him, but he didn't seem to recognize any of the popular Slayer's kids.
This is quite fortunate, actually, my finding you all. You see, he patted the stack of papers affectionately, you can call me Mr. Rossburg, by the way. I'm in desperate need of actors.
Then, to their disbelief, he began handing out what looked to be copies of scripts to three of them, saying,
"Be ready for rehearsal in an hour."
Lena hadn't even looked at hers, but remarked out loud to the youth by the tree, "He is either nuts for the theater or just plain nuts."
Both. That's why he needs actors. They keep running away. Thanks for the soda.
We have our own performance to concentrate on, Zell pointed out,
but it fell on deaf ears. Despite the warnings about the rate at which actors were leaving the company, Lena, Gowry, and Amelia seemed ready to join the company.
It's on the way to our own theater, Lena told the others airily.
You can't be serious, Zell gasped.
You gonna come along?
Gowry asked.
Absolutely not. Zell was definite. You're not going to.
We ate their food, after all. Besides, it's a great opportunity. Maybe we'll win the contest and draw attention to our musical,
Amelia said cheerfully.
Perhaps I should...
Zell faltered. He didn't want to leave his friends in the lurch. But Amelia had other ideas.
Oh, no, we'll be fine. You go ahead and keep Kiki company and the others in line. Miwan wanted to go through part of his scene again, and Gilles and Gravos can use some more practice. Val and Philia can work with them if you need to check all the systems. I know you can make it all go smoothly. See you later.
Was Amelia trying to... get rid of me? Zelgadas blinked. Fine then. Later. He looked over his shoulder at Zelos, who was waving to Zulf and his vanload of slayers. He couldn't believe it. He just got the brush off. And from Amelia. He needed to talk to her. But first, Rodimus, wake up. We'll go back with Zulf. You need to keep an eye on Lena. We don't know anything about those moronic Rosberg guys. With a tip of his invisible cap, Rodimus trotted after the other group. With little effort, he had convinced them all to let him tag along. Zell watched as they strolled out of sight. He was still shaking his head in disbelief when Zelos passed by.
Zelgaris, have some lunch before we go back to check the stage set up, okay?
Huh? Oh, yeah, fine. You know, Zell asked as they joined the others at the picnic table. Amelia actually didn't want me to join them. She told me to stay behind.
Really?
Zelos said, fighting down a bemused smile.
I guess she finally realized that you only wanted her friendship. She's more likely to meet some boys without you hanging around her.
Ah, Silphiel, would you pass me one of those whatever they are's, please? He smiled her way and felt Zell's eyes drill into his head. Amelia 1, Zelgaris 0. Evolvement. Rodimus was trying to find the other man's parked vehicle, which Mr. Rosberg was unbelievably unhelpful with, while the kids all jabbered excitedly about their possible new roles. But when they opened the scripts and saw the title, Grant Us Justice and Peace, The Death of the Abominable Fiend and Pop Star Lena Inverse, Lena practically blew her top and their cover. Gowrie clutched her arms, burying her face in his chest and stifling her shouts.
She's a little high-strung, he explained.
He hoped she wouldn't kill him, but it was really important that they keep a low profile. Even he knew that. Imprisoned in his arms, Lena started hyperventilating. She had to break out, but the more she fought him, the tighter his arms became. Then came that soothing, velvety voice asking her to be still. His voice was low and so gentle, it silenced her.
Lena, please calm down.
She froze. Okay, so it was more of a cocoon than a cell, as she'd first felt. A warm, snuggly, safe cocoon with a heartbeat. Lena noticed with some mental rejection how massive he had become. His chest had broadened and deepened, and his arms were easily as big around as her thigh. That's when Lena took a good look at her friend, up close and personal. She rarely saw anyone that near to her, or wanted to. There was a trace of blonde stubble on his chin and along his jawline. At that moment, Gowrie became a man to her eyes, not her pal down the block. Zell had changed too, but Gowrie was all grown up. Zelos, although the oldest, appeared as youthful as ever, in comparison. She felt one of his thumbs gently rubbing one of her shoulders. She pushed back a ways, feeling his resistance and his growing warmth.
Grrr, let me go! She growled.
Her noise was muffled against his shirt, but the vibrations tickled his chest. Gowrie laughed and freed his charge. There was something about a big guy laughing, especially one ordinarily so quiet. It made a chuckle bubble up within Lena, and out it burst.
Ha ha!
She gripped his strong forearms for support and started to laugh so hard tears streamed from her eyes. She also hiccuped.
Lena, are you okay?
Gowrie asked with concern. He had thought she was just laughing, but the tears caught his attention. Had he crushed her?
Yeah, she smiled and released him. Hiccups from laughing too hard.
Ah, that's good then, he smiled. Laughing's good for you. Mom says it releases stress, And with all you've been doing lately, I bet you needed a break.
Well, Gowrie hit the nail on the head. It was Lena's turn once again to be dumbfounded by his insightful comment. She remained speechless, so he continued.
Sure you do. So let's do this plaything for Mr. Ross guy here, and blow off some steam.
Yeah, okay, Lena agreed. It was comforting knowing that he was thinking of her welfare.
But was that all?
She could have sworn that she had caught his eyes raking over her as they pushed apart, and had heard a sigh escaping when she had been in his arms. Was this love? Zelos had spewed up his guts to say as much to her, on several occasions, but not Gowrie. Oh, sure, he had dashed off a quick poem or two, and he sure hated Zelos to pay attention to her. But was that love? Was that for all time love, or you sure are cute love, or I want you, I need you, be mine love? Lena shook her head. How confusing! Why would anyone want to be exclusively loved, to the exclusion of others? It sounded smothering. Why one-on-one, anyway? Oh, yeah, the marriage and children thing. Ha! Like that's ever going to happen to the Lena inverse. Singer and writer supreme, nobody's going to tie me down. Monopolize me to the day I die. Not far off, Amelia had been reading her script aloud. Amelia's youthful vivacity and quick study caught Rosberg's eye.
"You I shall cast as the star of the play!" he exclaimed enthusiastically.
Lena heard the man's declaration and, combined with her former thought processes, burst out emotionally with, "I will be nobody's possession!" Gowrie backed off, confusion contorting his happy face. Had he done something wrong? Amelia stopped reading and turned Lena's way. Miss Lena? Not to be outdone by her best friend, Lena immediately asked Mr. Rosberg what role she could play. It had better be an important one. Gowrie relaxed, letting out the breath he'd been holding. Of course, Lena hadn't hit him. That was something to consider, and maybe it was all about the part she was about to play. There were times he didn't get Lena. Not that it mattered. Long as she turned to him for comfort now and then. That had to count for something. It would keep him hoping. Mr. Rosberg contemplated Lena's request a split second, mumbling,
"Good lungs, powerful voice, but so small. But it takes two."
The man appraised the tall, strong, blonde man standing close by and grinned.
"I have the perfect part."
And that was how Lena, together with Gowrie, was cast as the dragon. Leaving only the question, "Why am I the rear end?" on Lena's enraged lips. That settled, it was time to move on.
"Now to my caravan," the director called out. "My associate and cook will take us on to the small stage where we shall prepare for the greatest performance of all times."
Rodimus sighed as he watched the old VW van wagon pull out of the parking lot. He had not been invited along, and his other vanload of kids had already taken off, squeezed together on Zolf's vehicle. He pulled out his cell phone and called Zolf.
"I'm going back to my van to chase after them. Yes, I put a tracking device on their vehicle. It won't be hard to follow. I think it's only going a mile or so up the road anyway. Yeah, thanks."
Rosberg lived up to his reputation. He was insistent on the actors getting their performance right, and a harsh taskmaster to boot.
"Start memorizing your lines. You won't have time later. How does that fit?"
he asked Amelia, who had scrambled into the back of the vehicle to test out her outfit.
"He's really into his work," Gowrie said,
as an aside to the driver beside him.
"Yeah, sometimes too much. Unfortunately, he mixes up plays and reality all the time," the cook actor explained.
After Rosberg saw Amelia in costume, which was strikingly reminiscent of a typical magical girl in a Japanese anime, he was reminded of his little sister.
"Ah, so long. I haven't seen her in years. So like her you are, the blossom of youth blushing on her cheeks.
See what I mean? The driver muttered to Gowrie. Wait till you get your turn. Amelia, however, was touched and poured her heart into doing her best for him.
Now taste the swift sword of justice!
Amelia cried out her lines from the script.
Wonderful! Magnificent! Do it again!
Rosberg shouted as the vehicle came to a stop.
Ah, good! Now you can do it on stage!
In no time at all, it seemed the play was coming together. It was more a skit than a full-length play, after all. Amelia, Lena, and Gowrie had practiced the key and only seen where the hero defeats the dragon, often enough to satisfy themselves, when Rosberg decided to add more oomph to the scene with explosives. In his hands, however, everyone feared their lives would be doomed. Even Lena didn't trust the director's judgment.
Whoa, that's some pretty dangerous stuff he's waving around, Lena noted.
See why I got those safety guys for our play?
Gowrie pointed out his important part of the protection retinue.
Things can go wrong, and no amount of insurance can bring back a blown hand or life.
Lena nodded. No arguing that. Fortunately for the Rosberg company, the crazy director was carted off stage temporarily by the rest of the crew before anybody could get hurt. Entitlement. Zangalus checked his watch.
Zell, I need to step out for a minute, make a call, pick up something at the market.
Zell nodded.
Go ahead. We don't need you back for a while.
He left quickly. Zangalus was having second thoughts about turning over his little farce to Vermagen now. As much as he thought he didn't like Gowrie, he found no animosity directed toward him by the Slayers. And, in fact, he had grown to like and admire Zelgadas considerably. Ever since the summer when Zell had temporarily lived with him and his father, while he and Zelos were fighting, Zangalus counted Zell among his closest friends, best probably. Gowrie, he couldn't outfence the guy, but as he spent more time with him, he had learned to like him too. Lena he respected. Amelia was a doll. Silphiel and Philia seemed like models. Val he steered clear of, knowing his tough background. But since Zell trusted him... Zelos, however, made him uneasy. Zangalus understood that Gowrie didn't trust the guy, and agreed. There was something, many things, odd about Zelos. Just before leaving, Zelos had been staring at him as if he suspected, as if he knew what he had done. Overwhelmed with guilt, Zangalus fled to see if he could undo the monster he may have put into motion.
Vermagen, I've changed my mind. Come get your money back.
Too late. Already sent it on.
Tell me where. I just want to see that they're respectful to my work.
Listen, you can go, but don't interfere, unless you want to be a part of it.
No, I work alone.
Zangalus wanted to remain on his own. He was not working for others, especially Vermagen.
Oh? Well, may I remind you that there will be others there to capture Lena et al. Alive, so don't interfere unless you want her blood on your hands,
Vermagen warned. Not that he actually could or would do her any harm himself. Zangalus hung up the payphone at the market. He would have to find another way. If I could just... find out where that contest was being held, he muttered.
Excuse me. I don't usually listen in on other guys' conversations, but you mentioned a contest?
Zangalus nodded. Short plays. I wrote one and want to see it performed. I have my doubts. The actors would have only gotten their scripts today. How good a job could they do?
I hear you. My crazy director just got his scripts. He gave my part away to some little skirt with big blue eyes. Maybe that's your play, huh? I'll tell you. It's starting right over there in a few minutes.
The kid pointed vaguely, and Zangalus squinted into the forest.
Thanks.
Say, if you want to put a stop to it, I've got some friends. The young actor pointed over to the benches where Lena and Martina had once rested. Four oddly dressed young men lounged along, across, and beside the seats. Animals, Zangalus thought to himself. No thanks. I'll take care of my problem myself. Endearment. Lena curled up on a pile of old, faded curtains and instantly fell asleep. Pleasant dreams turned to nightmares about her entire situation, being chased not only by the dragon costume, but her pony one, Amelia's starfish, Gowrie's jellyfish, both Zelos's frog and jester ones, and Zell's bunny gone mad with fangs and silver wire hair, only to discover that her escape route was blocked by a giant Rossberg, or was that Captain Ashford riding a shark bareback. She woke with a start. Gowrie and Amelia were chatting nearby. She had only been asleep for a minute or two. Ugh, I can't take this anymore, guys, Lena groaned. But Amelia confessed, I love this! I may have found my true calling! And Gowrie had grown fond of the dragon costume.
The work's easy, plus there's plenty of food. I've gotten sort of attached to this guy,
he said with a smile, while holding up the costume's head. Oh, great, Lena said, with a roll of her eyes. She needed a break. Lena took a moment to slip away, and wound up in an alley plastered with posters of her, Gowrie, and the other members of the Slayers band.
Come see the Slayer stars, here!
Good grief. Frenzied fans spotting her now would be a problem. She started to head back to the playhouse, when a fan patrol rounded the corner, finding her.
Aren't you Lena Inverse? That Lena? Can I have a bit of your hair for my collection? Would you have my child?
Immediately, Lena started to try to bluff her way out of it. No, but people tell me I do resemble her a little. When Mr. Rossberg appeared in search of her.
Ah, there you are, my dear daughter. You should be back at the studio working.
He slapped her none too gently on the back, forcing her gasp. Lena promptly jumped in on the act. Two could play roughhouse.
Ah, gee, Dad, do I gotta? I was just taking a break.
She gave him a hard push for good measure.
Rossberg tripped her. No running off for you!
Lena caught the bigger man in a hammer hold.
But, Dad, I'm so bored!
His lips were tinged blue before he had pulled her off and delivered a punch to her midsection hard enough to knock the air out of her lungs.
I'll show you how to love boredom.
The touching display of tough love between father and daughter became so rough that the lead fanboy of the entourage pleaded with them not to hurt each other.
Stop it, you guys. Maybe you should get some counseling.
Even though you're not who we thought you were, we certainly don't want to stay and watch you torment one another, so bye, another said, and the patrol continued on its way. On the way back to the playhouse with Rossberg, Lena ventured, So, you know who I am, that we're part of that band putting on the musical tonight. We tend to attract a large crowd of unsavories, shall we say, as well as fans. What I mean is, well, why did you save me just now?
It doesn't matter who you really are. What matters to me is that you are one of my precious actors, and that you remind me of my real daughter.
Lena started to call him on the unlikely story, but seeing a tear forming at the corner of his eye, she simply smiled and said, Well, thanks, mister. Entropy. When they had returned, the audience was gathering outside the amphitheater for the playoff competition. Dozens of short one-act plays and skits had already been performed for the contest. Now, following a break, theirs was to be the last play of the afternoon. But before the doors had opened, Rossberg was called backstage by a blue-haired temptress, whom he took to be from a previous play since she was dressed chin to ankle in a lizard-skin jumpsuit.
Yes, dear? I can only give you a minute. My play is about to start.
Meanwhile, Zangalus had only just located the correct building in time to watch Lena and Rosberg's return. He had to get in there and stop the thing. That's when he noticed Vrumigan and the lizard lady and shrank back. Not her. The principal's assistant? Zangalus had overheard Lena and Zell discuss many of their plans. He had personally participated in last spring's attack upon Fabrizio, so he knew that the Slayers were not paranoid. The Syndicate was really anywhere and everywhere. But was Miss Shira a part of that too? Her? He had become suspicious of Vrumigan shortly after meeting him last summer. He had looked him up, asked too many questions about Lena and Zelos, and about his adventures chasing Fabrizio in particular. Zangalus knew, under threats from his father, the now chief of police of Seyrun, McGuinn, to stay mum about it all, especially the Syndicate involvement. But just the other day, Martina had let it slip to Lena that Vrumigan knew her funny jewelry came from the ancient clan territory. It hadn't, of course, but that was where he had first seen Lena wearing the pieces. From Lena's reaction, it was clear she suspected him to be a Syndicate employee of some kind. Now he was here with Miss Shira. What did those two have in common? Was she giving Vrumigan orders? Why was she here? Zangalus didn't have the answers, but he was determined to do something. A movement just inside the door caught his attention. Two other men were donning animal costumes. One Zangalus recognized to be Vrumigan, struggling into a cow suit, but the other was older, hardened. One look at the big thug stepping into the gorilla outfit, and Zangalus knew that Shira's role in all this couldn't be good. Things looked bad now. When they moved off, Zangalus slipped inside, grabbed the first mask he touched, and, in disguise, tracked the two animal men. Unfortunately, the three intruders entered the stage left just as the play began. The lights were on them, the audience watching. Shit, Zangalus hissed. There was nothing but to simply join in. He certainly knew how the story went, having written it. Amelia jumped atop a stage prop rock to avoid an attack by the roaring Lena Gowrie dragon. Zangalus stepped to the forefront and declared, "Brave heroine, I have come to help kill this villain."
"Who are they?" Gowrie asked Lena under the costume.
"I don't know. The Rosberg idiot probably went and changed the script on us and brought in a couple extras. Just play it by ear, I guess." Her words had barely escaped her lips when Vrumigan and Zazan, bestially costumed, attacked the dragon. Gowrie reared back and roared, lashing out with his dragon claws, not knowing who was who. When he was bashed on the skull by a heavy metal object, and a rip separated his half of the costume from Lena's, Gowrie shouted, "Hold it!" Lena was furious. "Hey, those are real swords!" The audience cheered the startling realism. The dragon costume was cut to pieces, and Lena and Gowrie shrugged off the last scraps and stumbled onto a trap door, just as the unseen Rosberg yanked the cord which opened it.
"Oh!"
they screamed, as they disappeared below stage. With Lena and Gowrie out of the picture, Zangalus became truly frightened for the first time. It was definitely time to get help. At least he could recognize when he was in over his head. He maintained solemnly as he ran out of the building to find Zilgadis. Lena and Gowrie landed in the basement of the theater. The lizard lady, who was holding Rosberg, had her back to them, but turned at their noisy interruption.
"Get your slimy hands off that guy," Lena shouted,
and in the spirit of the Power Rangers-style schlock they were performing, announced "Rocket Kick" as she let it loose. Shira was stunned when the lower half of the dragon costume flew into her face, feet first, knocking the woman to the floor and taking the director down with her.
"Are you all right?"
Gowrie asked Rosberg, as he helped him to his feet.
"That lizard person didn't hurt you none, did she?"
But Rosberg was unappreciative. Attractive ladies didn't often come on to him, and this one had been willing to meet him later, after the show. He didn't say that, though. Instead, he upbraided them for not continuing the play. Lena started to protest. "Damn it, I don't know who those guys were, seeing as I was the rear of the dragon suit, but they're here after us." Miss Shira sat up, and Gowrie and Lena recognized her at once.
"Oh, you're the principal's helper, aren't you?" Gowrie asked. "You okay?"
"Yes, thank you." She glowered at Lena. Things had gone awry, again. Quick thinking and backpedaling were called for until her minions had things under control. "Mr. Grouchera sent me over. He was concerned that you weren't present for your own musical. The show can't go on without you."
Oh, sorry, Lena said, as contritely as she could. But she wasn't fooled.
Grouchera had no way of knowing she was here with Gowrie and Amelia. Miss Shera had just missed a trick. "Guess we ought to get this one over with then. Right, Gowrie?"
"That's right." "Absolutely. Back to work. Nobody ever interrupts and stops one of my plays," Rosberg repeated.
"Okay," Lena grinned evilly. "But first, Rosberg, where did those explosives go that you were wanting to use?" Entertainment. All this time, Amelia had been on her own with Rumigan and Zazan, standing stupidly on either side of her. After Lena and Gowrie had disappeared, they appeared baffled, not knowing what to do next. Amelia, though, had crowd experience. Yes, she knew what to do with a captive audience. Her face lit up and she broke into a Slayer's song, which everyone recognized, and turned it into a sing-along.
"Isn't that Amelia singing?"
Zalgadis asked, easing himself inside past the door. He withdrew his mechanical pencil and went about filling out the judging card placed on his chair seat.
"Why, yes, Zalgadis it is," Zelos returned humorously. "See, up on the stage. Oh my, look who she has with her. Rumigan and Zazan, together at last."
"Make a note of that in the comment section," Zell pointed to Zelos's card. Zelos found his purple-colored pen.
"You say this is a farce, Zangy?"
Zangalus stood alongside them, at the back of the room, shaking his head. "This isn't how the play goes, and those guys are trying to kidnap Lena."
"Not likely," Zell assured him. "Well, the spectators seem to be getting into it," Zelos smiled, "although I can't tell where the plot is going."
Zazan, wearing only the bottom half of a gorilla costume and touting a unsheathed blade, was about to move in and silence Amelia, when the stage exploded underneath him. From out of the smoke, Lena and Gowrie rose into view. While the two men were caught off guard, Lena immediately launched into a dramatic exposition, claiming the spotlight and explaining to the audience that, "At last you've shown yourself, Devil King Kong Zazan, and your cowboy impersonator sidekick Vermigan. Your evil powers changed us holy warriors into an evil dragon. You lured the brave heroine here to kill her, but now that we have regained our original forms, your evil scheme ends here."
I guess that explains the part we missed," Zell said as an aside to Zelos and Zangalus.
"But that's not how it goes," Zangalus moaned. "Besides, he's got a knife. See?"
Zelos squinted a bit. "Well, what do you know? Monkey Legs is armed. But that Vermigan, he's an utter disappointment."
Amelia tried to reclaim her role.
"For the sake of justice, let us bind together!"
Joining in the new spirit of the play, and even Gowrie managed a shy,
"The power of justice unites us,"
line or two, before Zazan shouted to Vermigan,
"Do something, you worthless poser!"
Zelos clapped his hands gleefully.
"Oh, a new motivation."
Zell smirked. "Oh, yes. It's just one twist after another." But... Zangalus sank into an empty folding chair in defeat.
No, he must stop those villains. They were murdering his play. He jumped off his chair, grabbed an umbrella from the stand by the door, and raced to the stage. Gowri! Gowri whirled around. Sadly, he did not see Zangalus, the enforcer of justice. He saw Zangalus running at him with a sword-like weapon, calling him out for the umpteenth time. Here! Lena tossed him a length of broken curtain rod. Gowri snatched the sword out of the air and yelled enthusiastically, "Engage!" "No, it's on guard," Zangalus corrected him. "But I'm here to help, not fight you." Amelia stomped her foot angrily at the tall gorilla man. "No fair! Calling in reinforcements!" Zangalus blocked a blow to his arm and tried again. "Listen, I'm not the one you fight." Alas, Gowri only heard "fight" and struck out. "Don't gotta tell me more than once." With an exasperated sigh, Zangalus set to dueling again, trying to protect himself as best he could. Amelia busied herself with pounding Zazan on the head with the weight used to counterbalance the curtains that rose up at the beginning of the show. "Effective use of props," Zelos noted. "Audience participation as well," Zell nodded, watching the audience cheer and make bets. "Amelia is a very strong young lady, isn't she?" Zelos winced as the heavy weight thumped Zazan on the head again. "What a dumbbell. Ouch, that had to have hurt." Zell smiled. "Yeah, but not as violent as Lena ordinarily." "Ah, no. You are right, of course." Zelos chuckled. "Just look now." Vrumigan remained to confront Lena, grumbling to himself, "I knew I couldn't leave this to Zangalus." With his honed chemistry background, he instantly determined the effective range of the explosive in her hands, with enough time left over to shield himself with a hunk of the set. Luckily for him, the weaker firebombs couldn't penetrate it, and even she knew better than to attempt to use a dragon bomb without killing the audience. "Ha!" he smiled, thinking that he had bested Lena. But that didn't reckon on Mr. Rosberg, who rolled an entire keg of explosives across the stage in Vermigan's direction, just before it was detonated. "Move it!" Lena yelled, and her followers obeyed, plunging into the scenery for cover like Olympic diving team contenders. The resulting enormous blast reduced the set to charcoal, and knocked Vrumigan and Zazan to the stage floor. "These guys are serious," Shira gasped. With the tide turned against them, Shira used the resulting chaos to drag her two worthless henchmen off the stage and beat a hasty retreat. Amelia noticed them leaving, but it was too late to stop them. She shook her fist and decided to get the final words in. "The war is not over!" Zelgadis regarded the bright-eyed, pink-cheeked girl as he joined the rest of the audience in a standing ovation. "Nice job, eh?" Zelos grinned, he too clapping vigorously. "Yes, indeed. I think we have this year's winner." While the judge was presenting Rosberg with the first prize for this year's contest, Lena joined her two friends. "Now that's theater." "Feeling better?" Zell asked her with a wry smile. "Oh, yeah. I'm all loosened up now. Zell, go extricate your girlfriend so we can go. We got a musical to put on." Zell muttered something nonsensical, but since Zelos had heard her and he was laughing, Zell ran off to do Lena's bidding and collect Amelia. Zangalus and Gowri ambled over to the exit, all smiles. They, too, had enjoyed the unexpected workout and were ready to get on with the serious business of putting on a Slayer's production. "Well?" Zelos smiled down at Lena. "All's well that ends well." "What? Nah, that was some other dude's play. This was more explosive Lena's easy workout." "I see. Well, I think you'll find the next event a bit more exciting. The place is filled to overflowing with friends and enemies alike." Zelos winked knowingly at her. "You weren't here to fight off the bad guys, were you?" "Of course not, Lena. Zangy mentioned who'd shown up, and I knew you and Amelia had the syndicate jewelry to ward off anything untoward. That's what your ingenuity couldn't overcome on its own.
To himself, Zelos added silently, That and Rodimus is around someplace, watching over you.
Yeah, bring him on, and on with the show! Lena laughed confidently,
although she put her hand to her chest and briefly touched the ring on its chain.
As you like, he bowed deeply.
No, not that play either. She chuckled and punched at his arm playfully.
Yes, he smiled genuinely. Oh, by the way, Val's on his cell phone, still back at our playhouse, but we have some news which may interest you.